your community radio station for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. This is Radio Catskill, and joining us live on the phone right now, we've got Kathy Kreider from Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless. Kathy, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you, Jason? I'm doing okay. I'm just, as I shared with you a second ago, just out here doing some chores in the little barnyard that I have. So
well, it's
sorry
good...
if I sound a little out of breath. I'm not as young as I used to be, but here I am.
Well, it's
so,
a good, yeah, it's a good day to
thanks
do
for
it. Do
the
it. Yeah, no problem. See, you got to do these things when it's not like 90 and humid outside.
Exactly.
So we haven't talked to you since all the craziness started, pretty much. We spoke to you in the first week or two of the pandemic really dawning on us. So what have we missed? What have you been up to?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a mouthful there. Let's see. So as you may have known in the beginning, we shut down all indoor dining services on March 13th and started to serve everything to go out the door. Not too long after that, my cook, Mike, got very sick. He had COVID, and he was in the hospital on a ventilator 13 days. His kidneys were shut down. He had pulmonary embolisms. He had pneumonia, and we were given the impression that he probably was not going to pull through. But I am happy to report that he is right back in my kitchen as of... 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, he made a miraculous recovery.
Wow.
And we are very grateful for that. So that was a big deal, and that was hard. When he was out for almost 2 months, and we're a small staff to begin with, and my other staff has some health challenges that kept her out since the 13th of March. So it was pretty much myself and my other gentleman that works with me, and a couple of really steadfast volunteers that were holding things down for quite a while. But, yeah, that was kind of something. But I think it made everything so real so early on to us that, you know, it just really highlighted the way we have to do business now.
Yeah, really. Well, when we last spoke before that happened, like you were concerned about the people that are working for you, but you were also concerned about the people that come to you for services. Had do you know of any of the people that were coming to you regularly if they contracted the COVID-19?
I do not. I ask after everybody. You know, things look different now. For example, when we had the dining inside, we were doing breakfast and lunch, but we shortly saw that after we shut down the dining room, that the amount of folks that were now coming for breakfast were just not enough to warrant us cooking a big meal every day, because we can always give them emergency food if they came. But I think people, and lunches as well, people utilize the Federation for a myriad of reasons. So first and foremost is food and access to food. But certainly after that, we have seniors who come in and meet with one another and have lunch there. There's a socialization component. You know, we do some housing issues. So there's that. And so when the dining room shut down, right now what you're really seeing, what we're really seeing, are the folks that really could not do without us. In other words, maybe some people are now only coming for pantry, because our pantry we used to do every other week, and now since the 13th of March, we've been doing it every week. And we're seeing folks we've never seen before, and then folks that we used to see every 2 weeks, we're seeing them once a week. So I kind of sidetracked there, but so we're not seeing on a daily at lunchtime as many folks as we used to, and I certainly ask after everyone. But there's a lot of people I'm not seeing, and I don't necessarily think they're home because they had COVID. You understand? That's where I was kind of going with that.
Yeah,
think that things have changed right now, and then maybe some people have kids, and right now the schools are delivering food to people's homes, and right now you have a single bite delivering food to people's homes. And, you know, it's all kind of, it's great that people have that much access because, you know, as we know, it's quite a challenge to get food to those who need it the most. And while we serve the whole community and anybody who can get to us, we don't generally have the capacity to deliver food. So when people were kind of quarantining at home, you know, or home because they were diagnosed, or senior citizens perhaps that couldn't come out, you know, we worked with Jane Bozan, who is, let me just say, I don't know if you know Jane, but Jane Bozan works for the Office of the Aging, and she's in charge of the nutrition programs, and she is just phenomenal. I've known her for many years. We've done lots of projects together, including the Alice Kreider Senior Citizen Prom, but so much more than that. And she is just a dynamo, but she has such a heart for our seniors. And, you know, her and I just continue to work very closely together. So, you know, right now there's a lot more. The county has their emergency services up and rolling. You know, Cornell is working with SALT, and they're doing their thing. And so we're really grateful for all that. You know, and when things kind of settle and the routines kind of go back to the semi-normal that they were, and people go back to work, and maybe there aren't so many volunteers to do so many things, you know, I anticipate that in the fall, sadly, our numbers are going to go up. I have no doubt about that.
Right.
And that's a tough one. But, you know, right now we serve approximately, I'm going to say, and we are averaging 70 pantries, 70 households every Friday, and probably about 40 to 50 meals a day out of our soup kitchen.
Are you still operating like in a grab-and-go sort of?
Yes, everything is to go. We don't do any sit-down. And right now we're working it out of I have a pop-up tent that I use for parties at my house that my husband kind of styled up for me, if you will. He made sure it was anchored very well to the ground. We got some clear shower curtains and made ourselves a sneeze guard. And, you know, at best, it's a temporary thing, but because I don't foresee this as a temporary thing going forward, it's so difficult to anticipate when we might be able to have folks back in to the dining room, because there's just so many factors, including, you know, how many people can we fit in at once? It's not like a restaurant. Like a restaurant gets to open back up, and maybe they're open from 11 in the morning to 8 at night. I'm just picking a time. And so they have capacity to seat 20 different tables. So they have all day for people to come in and out as they want. We have an hour. You know, I mean, we're limited to how many people we can serve in that hour. And then we think about, well, we have to take temperature checks, and then we're still only 3 part-time staff and 1 part-time staff that's not on the premises right now. And so, you know, how would that look? And how, if you came, we serve a lot of single people. So if you came in and you were a single person, you sat down and your buddy Jim came in and he was next in line, but he was by himself and he didn't come with you. Now we're going to have to sit him at a different table. So you have one person taking up 4 seats. We have 4 seaters. And I thought, well, how can we space them and what can we put between them? And it's just, then what we have to disinfect after every seating. And right now, I just don't see our capacity, you know, to do that and keep everybody safe, which is paramount. And so we have gotten funded for a shed to be put outside. So it's going to replace my pop-up tent. Not that I'll be having any parties anytime soon, but that is really just a temporary thing. This is going to be, you know, for the foreseeable future, and it will have shelves, and we'll be able to not have to drag tables in and out every day. And, you know, it's just going to work much better for the people we serve and certainly for the folks that are doing serving. So that's kind of the direction we're headed in right now.
Right. So, there's a lot to take in there, but, as you were talking earlier about how many different people have stepped up to help make sure that people are getting fed, it seems like this whole pandemic really highlighted for people that maybe weren't paying attention how bad access to food is an issue in our area. the scarcity of nutrition and the how fragile some people's income are, that just a couple of changes made it so that they were in desperate need of food. Now, do you have any indication or any hope, either or, that in the fall or whenever it is, like you said, things might get back to normal, that even though you might have to be doing more because maybe some of those other popped up initiatives go by the wayside, do you have any hope that maybe things will start to change systemically, or there might be some more longer term responses to actually address what clearly has been an issue that many of us have been ignoring?
Wow, so that's a big question, but I'll try to condense my answer. That's not always easy for me, but I'm going to try. So I think that certainly COVID, everybody, you know, for better or for worse, when everybody had to stop dead in their tracks, we all had to do it together. You know, time was just kind of frozen, and it didn't really matter if you were on the high end of the totem pole, the low end or the medium end, or whether you were in business for yourself or whether you always volunteer or whether you're connected to some kind of food initiative or whether you're a banker. It really didn't matter. At that one point, I think you're absolutely right. It just connected us all. And then, for example, there are a lot of folks who, I'm going to say, let's just say that they're retired. They, you know, were able to put enough away that they feel that they're comfortable and that they're not, they didn't get unemployed. They didn't get laid off during this. So their financial status didn't really change very much. Certainly going to the store or not going to the store, or, you know, wearing a mask or not being able to wear a mask, all those things, they touched everyone. But I'm just talking about a certain amount of folks right now. And they were saying, hey, you know, hey, what can I do? And you know what? Just for one example, when everybody started to get their stimulus checks, I can't name the amount of people. I can't count the amount of people who either called me up or wrote me a short note and sent me a check saying, you know, I got this stimulus money, but I feel like there's just so many other people out there that could use it more than me. So, you know, here you go. Please do the best you can with it. I always think most people are inherently good and most people want to do good. I think people were able to stop, and because we were all stopped and because many people were at home and many people were watching the news and many people were keeping up on social media, I think it just really had a very captive audience, and people who probably do good just did better. You know, I don't know if that answers your question or not. And certainly looking at, you know, I mean, just because someone didn't come and take a picture at the Federation on Pantry Day when the line is wrapped through the parking lot, you didn't have to do that. You could look on the television. You could see these lines in Texas and major cities and all around. You could see what was going on with the factories and the people who are getting sick and the factories getting shut down and the statements about our broken chain of delivery for foods and just, you know, all of it. And people responded. People said, whoa, you know, yeah, maybe it did make them think a little bit. Maybe some of us who didn't have to worry about their next meal or their kid's next meal or, you know, being able to afford the taxi because you don't have a car just to get to the store maybe to even get your food if you were on food stamps. You know, I'm just picking something. Yeah. So I think it did make people think. Yeah,
Kathy,
for sure.
We're going to have to go pretty quick here, but do you have any outstanding needs that you need right now? Is it still a matter of it's better for people to give cash donations?
Well, certainly we always welcome cash donations. I always say that because we do have a very good relationship with the
All
food
right, 10 seconds.
I will say that right now because we're still at a place where unless someone is purchasing food directly from the store and bringing it.
Hello, Kathy. Okay, well, we lost Kathy, but we need to get going anyway. But the information for Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless is at scfederation.org. That's scfederation.org. And their information's there. That was Kathy Kreider, head of Sullivan County Federation for the Homeless. This is WJFF. We're going back to the news.
Maria Ressa and her scrappy newsroom. Critics call it Duterte's revenge over Rappler's hard-hitting coverage of his administration.